Now, we're going to start with the new body as we find it presented in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our lowly body that it may be made similar to his glorious body, according to the working of his ability to subject all things unto himself. Now, the King James Version here says, who shall change our vile body? But this gives a wrong sense to the modern ear. The sense intended here is not that our body is wicked or immoral, but that our body is lowly or humble. It's less than it's going to be. And it is also stated here that it is God's will to conform the body of the Christian to the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his glorious resurrection body. And nothing can hinder God from accomplishing this. Someday, when that rapture trumpet blows, when the time of the resurrection for the church comes, the indwelling Holy Spirit that's with the body is going to explode in a glorious demonstration of transformation, and that's going to change your body in a moment from the present body of pain in lack and shortcoming and failure to the fantastic body that's similar to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically what's going to happen at this time is all the effects of the curse on your body are going to be undone. Everything that's missing or broken in your DNA is going to be replaced or fixed. The Lord's going to go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and that whole train of DNA that came down to you, different things were broken or lost along the way. And so you right now are less than you could have been and should have been. But all the stuff that's lost or broken is going to be replaced and fixed. You are still going to be exactly you. You're not going to be somebody else. But you are going to be you as you would have been and should have been apart from the curse. Plus, you're going to have the glories of the resurrection added to the package. You are going to be a more attractive and intelligent and talented version of yourself. People will still recognize you as you. You will still recognize you as you. But everything that seems to be a lack or an imperfection in you is going to be turned to perfection. Now, this body is not going to be susceptible to wearing out, to breaking down. It's not going to be susceptible to injury, sickness, disease, or death. You're going to be in the perfect health of youth for all of eternity. You're always going to have that fullness of energy and vigor and strength and vision and the drive that youth have. It's going to be an amazing experience to be in this body. This is what the scriptures are talking about, says when we're going to put off our tent and put on our dwelling. It's a permanent structure for us to live in. Right now, what we have is, the scripture calls it a tent. It's like living in a tent. It's very flimsy compared to the house that we're going to live in. And when we get this body, folks, we're going to be jumping and skipping and dancing for joy. Now, what do we know about this body? One of the passages I'd like us to turn to is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 44. It's in the 1 Corinthians 15 resurrection body passage, which is a passage everybody should read through two or three times and just let the material in that chapter sink in. Now, here we read in verse 44, it is sown a soulish body, it is raised a spiritual body, there is a soulish body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, many versions say here, it is sown a physical body, and it is raised a spiritual body. This does not accurately reflect the Greek, but it's hard to fault the translators. We don't have commonly used adjectives for the soul in the English language. But it does not say it is sown a physical body. It says it is sown a soulish body. And there's a wealth of information here in this verse if we take the verse literally. And I'm going to give you three insightful bits of information that are in this verse. First of all, our resurrection body will be just as much a body as the body we have now. It can't be less and it can't be different. It will be a physical, tangible body that we can touch, feel, and handle. Things and people can touch, feel, and handle us. It's going to have hands and feet and ears and nose and mouth and hair and fingernails, just like the body you have now, but it'll be in perfection and not in imperfection. It's not going to be a non-body. We're not going to be somewhere between a ghost and an angel in the resurrection. We're going to have a physical body that can be handled and touched, just like Jesus in the upper room. But our body is going to be glorified, and it's going to be glorified to be like his glorified resurrection body. Now, the second thing here is that currently our body is in an immediate connection with the soul, and it's dominated by the soul. The soul is the seat of our desires, our passions, our feelings, our preferences, and our tastes. It's why we like coffee instead of tea or Coca-Cola over Pepsi. It's why we're into knitting instead of cars or into cars instead of knitting. It's this kind of stuff. But it's also our sinful desires. And this is why we struggle with sin, folks, because our soul and our body are an immediate connection. And this is what's involved in the whole concept of the sin nature. If it were not for the indwelling Holy Spirit in the believer, our spirit could not withstand the onslaught of the soul. It would be wore out and broke down. It's only through the indwelling spirit that our spirit is strengthened enough to have victory over our soul and over the desires of our soul, especially the worldly and sinful desires. Now, thirdly, our resurrection body is going to be in immediate connection with the Spirit, and it's going to be dominated by the Spirit. This is going to ratify the desires of our faith and our heart. Right now, our body is dominated by the emotions and feelings of our soul, but our body is going to be dominated by the holy purposes of our spirit, influenced and strengthened and enhanced by the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit is permanently indwelling in you. When you're raised in the resurrection, you don't lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You keep the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you get the added blessing of the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the 1,000 years, you get the added blessing of the physical presence of God the Father. Now, this is not setting aside your soul and flushing it down the potty or throwing it away into the dumpster. No, all this is rearranging the order. Right now, your soul is an immediate connection with the body, and the spirit is also in the picture. But in the resurrection, your spirit's going to be an immediate connection with the body, and your soul is still going to be in the picture. You're still going to like Coke more than Pepsi. You're still going to like coffee over tea, or maybe vice versa. You're still going to have your same interests you had before. The only thing that's going to be removed is the sinful interests and the sinful desires. All of your purely human interests and purely human desires, the things that make up you, are going to be still there intact. Now, the end result of this is everything is going to be in order. We're not going to have the chaos caused because of all the sinful desires that continually grow in our heart and in our soul. That's going to be reversed, and we're going to be wired in such a way that we'll never again have a sinful desire, because the only desires that are going to be able to come through the filter or enter into the system are desires that honor God. Now, let's move on to another passage on the resurrection. Let's look at the upper room, where again we see a tangible body. And I'm going to encourage you, when we're done with this message, to go read John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29, and read Luke 24, verses 36 through 43. Now, I'm just going to read one verse out of each of these passages. In John 20, verse 19, we read, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Notice that the doors were shut. And yet Jesus still appeared in the room without opening the door. In Luke 24:39, we read, "Behold my hands and feet. That is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Now, I want you to notice two things here. The Lord Jesus was in a body, but he walked through a wall. But also, he said, "I have flesh and bones. Spirits don't have flesh and bones." The resurrection body has flesh and bones. Now, they're obviously glorified flesh and bones, but they're not non-flesh and non-bones. We read a similar thought in Job chapter 19, verse 26. A very interesting passage. It's Job, way back, the oldest book in the Bible, talking about the resurrection. Very similar concept to what we have today. He says, "After my skin is destroyed, I know in my flesh I shall see God." So even in the Old Testament times, the believers knew there was going to be a bodily resurrection. Now, another point that we need to understand about this glorious body is that we are actually going to be eating food in eternity. Consider the beach scene in John 21, verses 9 through 13, where the Lord appeared to the disciples and while they were out fishing. And there we read, "A fire of coals and fish was laid on it, and bread." We read a similar thing in the resurrection scene in Luke 24, verse 42, where there was broiled fish and honeycomb. And he ate broiled fish and honeycomb. In Luke 24, 43, we read that he took and ate it in their presence. So the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body ate fish and bread and honeycomb. This is an indication that we in our resurrection bodies are also going to eat food. Now, there's more to this. We see in the passages that touch on the wedding supper in the future that we're also going to eat food at the wedding supper. So in our resurrection body at the wedding supper, we are going to be eating. Luke 22, verse 29 and 30 says, "And I bestow on you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." And in Isaiah 25, 6, we read, "And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wine on the lees, a feast of fat pieces full of marrow, of well-refined wine on the lees." Notice it goes from meat to wine, meat to wine. This is Hebrew parallelism. So we're not going to be eating veggie burgers or test tube meat in heaven, folks. We're going to have bone-in pieces of meat. Well marbled meat, juicy, tender cuts of beef and lamb and pork and chicken and whatever else you please. Physical versus spiritual is a concept that we need to understand to understand the resurrection body. Some people have a concept of physical versus spiritual, that the physical body is one that's tangible, touchable, handle, feel, but the spiritual body isn't really a body. You put your hand in it, it goes right through it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it. But this is a mistake. The understanding of physical versus spiritual is not tangible versus intangible. It's not handleable and feelable versus unable to be handled and unable to be felt. Basically what we're looking at is a tangible body limited by the physical realm versus a tangible body that's not limited by the physical realm. The resurrection body will be able to interact with the physical realm. It will not be limited by the physical realm. In other words, the the resurrection body, the tangible body of the resurrection, transcends the physical realm the same way the Lord Jesus' body transcends the physical realm. Again, we're going to interact with physical creation. We're going to be able to use it, but we're not going to be limited by it. The Lord Jesus passed through a wall and then sat in a chair with the disciples and ate broiled fish and honeycomb. So right now we are patterned after the first Adam, who is earthly. And we're going to be patterned after the second Adam, who's the heavenly Adam. This whole concept is developed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 49, where we read, "As we have borne the image of the man of dust, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." In other words, what this means is right now we are born of the earth. We are limited to the earth. We need oxygen and water. In the resurrection, we're going to be born of the entire heaven or the entire universe, and we're not going to be limited. We're not going to need oxygen tanks if we're going to leave this earth. We're not going to need to carry along water if we're going to leave this earth. We're not limited by oxygen. We're not limited by water. We don't need to eat. We don't need to sleep. But we still have a glorious body that we're going to enjoy being in, and it's going to be able to interact with creation. And we will eat for enjoyment, folks. Now, the upshot of this is we are still going to be human beings as we understand human beings, but it's going to be on a glorified or elevated plateau. We're still going to enjoy human being things. We're not going to cease to be human beings. We're not going to have our human being feelings and thoughts and desires and tastes reformatted off of our hard drive and gotten rid of. We're still going to have all that on our internal hard drive. And we're going to step from time into eternity and be in a realm where we get to be fulfilled as a human being. And we're going to be fulfilled with enhanced capacities and infinite opportunities. I want you to think about that. Enhanced capabilities and infinite opportunities. If you like the feel of riding a horse across the ranch land with the wind in your hair and the smell of wild flowers in the air that are blooming all around you, you still get to enjoy riding a horse on a ranch with the wind in your hair in eternity. If you like the feel of walking barefoot on a sandy beach, smelling the sea breeze, and enjoying the sun, you still get to do this in eternity. You are not going to cease to be a human being. You are going to be a human being with enhanced capacities in an infinite world with infinite opportunities. If you want to enjoy a grill out on Mars with the distinct tang of the Martian atmosphere coming into your senses and the distinct sense of steaks and corn on the cob on the grill drifting into your nostrils, you get to have this mixture. That'll be an interesting combination. If you want to walk barefoot in the moon dust, you'll be able to do so. If you want to go skiing on the methane snow on the moons of Jupiter, you'll get to do so. If you want to garden on some distant planet where the atmosphere is rich in carbon dioxide and low in oxygen, you'll be able to do that. The plants are going to thrive, and you will thrive because you don't need oxygen. If you want to go exploring Venus and Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and thousands of asteroids and distant solar systems and distant galaxies, that is yours to do. If you want to go gaze on and investigate the mysteries of the sun, you'll be able to do so up close without getting burned and without getting blinded. You're not going to be limited, folks, the way we're limited right now. You will be unlimited in your ability to interact with creation. There will be nowhere in creation that you won't be able to go and explore. You are going to do this in a body that's like the one you have now, but it's perfect, it's glorified, it's enhanced, it's unable to be harmed. So in conclusion, folks, your God is amazing, and he's giving you an amazing body in the future that you can enjoy in an amazing infinite universe on an infinite eternal time scale. Time without end, folks. Now, In this body, you're going to be able to do all that you can desire or imagine that's within the realm of humanity. And you're not going to be able to have thoughts that are evil or immoral. You're going to be rewired, as I brought out earlier, so that that will not be a possibility. You will be unable to think an unclean thought. And in this infinite universe, when you're in your infinite glorified resurrected body, there will be no such thing as daydreams, folks. Only day plans and day designs.